Last week we had about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And this morning we'll take a little bit more. We have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, his call to salvation, and then today is his call to service and the commission that God gave to him. And I'm going to give you a little bit of review of the events that have brought us to this place in the book of Acts, which is chapter number 9. I don't know, I've read it hundreds of times, but you ought to become familiar with this chapter. This is where Saul of Tarsus, who wrote half of the New Testament, and you should be familiar with what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And I want to remind you of something that I told you at the beginning when we started in the book of Acts, that the book of Acts takes us from God's dealings with the nation of Israel in the first 7 chapters to his dealings with the Gentiles and the body of Christ, the Gentiles, that'd be us. And so he begins by dealing with the Jews, but they reject Jesus Christ, and so he goes to the Gentiles then and the body of Christ. And so that's where we are now. That's why God has called him here in Acts chapter number 6. So here's a little bit of review. In chapter number 1 of the book of Acts, we have Jesus teaching his disciples after his resurrection. He taught them for 40 days, and then his ascension, where he ascended up into heaven and took his place at the right hand of God the Father. And thank God that he did, because he is our intercessor there. So that's chapter number 1. In chapter number 2, the disciples waited for the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God came down and filled them, and Peter preached, and there were 3,000 people, souls that were saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost, and that's chapter 2. Chapter number 3, 4, and 5 in the book of Acts, they continued, the disciples there, they continued preaching with great numbers saved, and they also encountered lots of opposition from the religious leaders. It goes on in chapter number 6, I don't know if you remember this, but they chose 7 men to be deacons there. And at that church at Jerusalem, one of those men was Stephen. In Acts chapter number 7, Stephen was one of those chosen to be a deacon, and he preached. And the Jewish leaders that heard him, they so hated his message, they so hated what he said, that they stoned him to death. And Stephen became the first Christian martyr. The first Christian martyr, he was stoned to death, you know, throwing things at him. I saw a news clip this morning or something like that on, and I do not know which college campus that it was, but on some college campus there was a conservative newsman, and this conservative newsman was, he wasn't stoned, it wasn't quite that bad, but he was, you know, they threw things at him, threw rotten tomatoes at him, they beat him up, they had people in ski mask and things like that, and they did the man harm. You know why? Because he did not agree with what they believed, you see. And that's going on in a lot of places. And you know, because certain people have taken over. They've taken over educational institutions and things like that. And they want to change America. I was telling the folks in Sunday school this morning, and those of you who were in Sunday school, You're going to hear this again, but there's a scripture in the Bible, Psalm chapter number 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" And we have people that are raging in the streets of America, and you know what they're raging over? They want their rights to abortion. They want the right to kill their babies. And I don't know who told them that they have a right to kill their babies. Now, I don't believe in that stuff. I'm against it. I'm against abortion clinics. I'm against all of that kind of stuff. I hate it. I despise it. I believe that baby is a baby in the womb a lot of those babies, a little baby big enough to put in your hand can now, of course, they need medical attention, can survive outside the womb. It has all its parts. It has everything that it needs to live, you see. But because it might be inconvenient, they want to kill it. But they think that they have a right, and so they get out in the street and they rage and they march in the street and they demand the right to kill their babies. they want to fornicate without any consequences. Brother, let me tell you something. Sin has consequences. Amen. The wages of sin is death. It has been. It's always going to be that way. The wages of sin is death. But God can turn things around. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But people cannot sin. But they want the right to sin without consequences. They want to fornicate. They want to fornicate without any consequences. In California, right this very minute, I don't know exactly when it is, but they are trying to pass laws in California. The lawmakers there, they are trying to criminalize preaching against homosexuality and sodomy and the LGBT business and all that kind of stuff, LGBTQ and whatever other names and numbers you want to put on it. They want to make that a crime to preach against those things. One of these days, it will be a crime for me to stand up here and preach against these kinds of things. It is called sodomy in the Bible. It is wicked. And folks, remember Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of these kinds of things. But they are trying to pass laws that make it a crime to do that. Why? Because they say that it stigmatizes them and it makes them feel bad, and so they rage about it and they say that you cannot do that. They are trying to turn it around and make us the criminals. The United States of America is now being turned into a, and it has been for a long time, turned into a big re-education camp, you see. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. God says, woe unto them. Woe unto them that take that which is good and make it sound bad. And they take that which is wrong and try to make it right, you see. They call evil good and good evil. He says, woe unto them that do those kinds of things. And God will bring judgment upon the United States of America, see. And whenever Stephen was stoned, he was stoned for doing something good. And his rejection, the Jews' rejection of what Stephen said, is the final rejection, and God set the Jews aside after that, and that's why he called the Apostle Paul out. So I'm telling you here that in Acts chapter number 7, they stoned Stephen. The Jews rejected his message, and they killed him. He was the first Christian martyr. In chapter number 8, Philip preaches to Samaria, and he goes to the desert to one man, an Ethiopian out there, and he is saved. In Acts chapter number 8, verse number 36 through 37. And then in chapter number 9, since the Jews have rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior, God calls a man. He calls a man from among the Jews, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, who called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 5. And he is supposed to go to the Gentile nations, and the Gentiles are anybody that's not a Jew. He is to take the gospel to those, to the Gentile nations, and that's where we are here, where this man gets saved, Saul of Tarsus. God is going to call him to go to the Gentile nations and preach the gospel, and the gospel being this. If you don't know what the gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, if there is no resurrection, then we have no hope. And so he's supposed to take that gospel story to the Gentile nations. Another thing there that I forgot to give you there, I told the Sunday school class this morning, people in California, I didn't know that they had already made it a crime in New Mexico to try. If you try to talk LGBT people out of their sin or something like that, then that's a crime. Let me get that piece of paper here. Massachusetts becomes the 16th state to ban a conversion therapy for gay youth. See, so it's a you're not supposed to do that. Young people who have homosexual tendencies, it's against the law to try to talk them out of it or try to set them on the right road. It's against the law, and it's against the law in New Mexico. It's what they said. But the Constitution of the United States, right here, it says this, Amendment number 1 to the Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So it says there that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. I think they've already done that. Yeah. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Whatever we're supposed to do according to the Bible, then we are to be free to do that, you see. That's the First Amendment to the Constitution. The Second Amendment, I know that you all believe in it, says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amen. I don't do a whole lot of hunting, but I've got guns and I want to keep them. Amen. I've got guns and I want to keep them. You know why? You know why that they wrote this in the Constitution of the United States? Because they feared the government. They feared the government, you see. Now, the guns that I've got, they're probably not big enough to defend me against the government. Because I've got mostly 22s, you know. I've got several 22s. The reason I have all 22s is because the ammunition is cheap, you know. And so if somebody comes against me, 22 is not going to help a whole lot. I've got a few shotguns. I've got several shotguns, you know. And, you know, a couple of other things. And I know y'all have got guns. And you ought to keep them. You ought to keep them. And, know how to use them. Nobody wants to hurt anybody. Don't want to kill anybody, but you know what? If you have to use your guns, then you got them. I'm for self-defense, and the Constitution gives you that right of self-defense and the right to keep and to bear arms. And brother, when certain kinds of people get into power, the first thing they do is take people's guns away from them. That's what they do. And so I hope you'll be, if nobody has a copy of the Constitution, then we can get you. We have here in the Bible in Acts chapter number 9, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He is called the apostle to the Gentiles. He is an apostle, but he's not one of the original 12. But he did see Jesus, and he does have the signs of an apostle, which according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12 is signs and wonders and mighty deeds. In other words, if you're an apostle, then you can do miracles. And so Paul can do miracles because he had the signs of an apostle. There's a lot of folks call themselves apostles today. They're not apostles. If they can't lay their hands on somebody and they get well and they're healed, then they're not apostles. They just use that name. Last week on the road to Damascus, Saul was saved. If you look in your Bibles to about verse number 4. Let's start about verse number 4. It says there, talking about Saul. Let me back up to verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. That's Saul. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said in verse number 5, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So Saul is journeying. He's going his way to Damascus to find Christians and to bring them bound and to put them in prison. But the Lord stops him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord said, It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why are you persecuting me? And verse number 5, Saul speaks back to him and he says in verse number 5, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And, you know, a lot of people think that Saul doesn't get saved here, but he says in verse number 6 that Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When he said Lord right there, that's where he got saved. He got saved on the road to Damascus. He is trembling and astonished. He is trembling with conviction. And he calls out to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He calls him Lord, and so he is saved there on the road to Damascus. Skip a verse or two down there. Go down to verse number 7. The Bible says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And verse number 8, it says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. So they take Saul, and they lead him on to Damascus. And verse number 9 says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So he goes there to Damascus, wherever he goes, I don't know, a house or whatever. He goes there, and the Bible says he does neither eat nor drink. He has lost his sight. And verse number 10 goes on, it says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. There's some Christians at Damascus, and Ananias is one of those Christians, and the Lord talks to him. He said, behold, I am here, Lord. In verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. I looked this up, and the street called Straight, that's the name of that street, and it's still there. It's called Straight. It's a street that runs from east to west. It runs about 1,500 meters, and the street is still there, and they have a house there that they think maybe is the one that where this took place, and who knows whether it is or not, it may be. But he sends this Ananias, he sends him to that place there, and he said, I want you to go and speak to Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Verse number 12 says, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. So the Lord says to Ananias, he sees you putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. So Ananias says, Lord, I've heard about this man, what he's done, and I'm kind of scared to go and talk to him. He says, and the Lord talks to him. He says in verse number 14, and he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So the Lord tells Ananias, he said, go and talk to him, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. He said in verse number 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Lord has something to do for Saul. Number one, he is to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And number two, in verse number 16, he said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's the thing that he's going to do. He's going to have to suffer. In verse number 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been as it has been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse number 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And so Saul is at Damascus, and Ananias come there. One of the things I wanted to bring out this morning and talk to you about is I heard a preacher preach one time, and he said that Saul had to go back to Damascus, and he had to have somebody to lead him in a sinner's prayer over there. you know, to get saved. But Saul of Tarsus is saved on the road to Damascus when he saw Jesus, and when he recognized him as Jesus and he called him Lord, that is where he was saved. And then there's some other people, the Church of Christ people. They think that Paul had to go over there, or Saul had to go over there and get baptized in order to be saved. Now I want to read this for you, and I want you to see, is there anything in here that says about Paul having to go to Damascus and get saved? Look what it says in verse number 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Now, when he talks there, he says, Brother Saul. What do you think he means there? Is he not a Christian brother? This man, Ananias, he's a Christian. And he called Saul his brother there, see. And so is not Ananias talking to Saul and calling him his Christian brother? So he puts his hand upon him. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto me, unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. That's number one. And number two, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now tell me something, folks. If Saul is not saved, how can he get filled with the Holy Ghost? You see, do you know anybody who's not saved that gets filled with the Holy Ghost? You see, if he's not saved yet, why is he going to be filled with the Holy Ghost here? See, he said, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. You see, whenever he saw Jesus, then he lost his sight because of the brightness. Says it was above the brightness of the sun. And so he received his sight there, and he arose in verse 18 and was baptized. He was baptized, but he's already been saved for 3 days. Look up there in verse number 9, it says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And so when he goes to Damascus, he is already saved there. And he receives his sight, and he arose and was baptized. And his baptism was a public profession of his faith because he is already saved. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And so the Saul's conversion, he is saved 3 days before he was baptized. And Saul's conversion is accompanied by three things. Number one, his conversion is accompanied by prayer. Verse number 9 says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And look in verse number 11, the Bible says there, and the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So his conversion is accompanied by prayer. If somebody gets saved, if they get born again, they will pray. They will pray. The Bible says there that he was fasting and praying for 3 days. There is no such thing as anybody getting saved and they never pray or they never say a word to God. I don't believe there's any such thing as that. If you get saved, then you will pray. You will say something. You know, whenever somebody gets saved, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And not any certain words that you have to say. It's not the particular word that you have to say. Like right here, Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's him. He's calling upon the name of the Lord. In Luke chapter number 24, there are two thieves on the cross. One of them died lost, unsaved. But the other thief, he looked at Jesus, and here's what he said. This is the best that he could do. The thief, he's getting saved right here, and he says this. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He did not say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. He didn't say that. Jesus right there, he's right there looking at him. But he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He's calling upon the name of the Lord right there. That's his call. he said something to the Lord, you see. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 37 and 38, you know what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no such thing as somebody getting saved and not saying a word to God, you see. Not saying a word, anything to God. You know what I said? I said, God, make sure this man asks me if I want to be saved because I want to be saved. And I'll say yes. And when he asked me, I said yes. Whenever someone is converted, they are saved, it is accompanied by prayer. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. If you believe in your heart, you cannot be saved, no matter what you pray, if you do not believe. You must believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins and he was buried and raised from the dead. Salvation is free. It doesn't cost you anything. Jesus Christ suffered and bore your sins in his own body on the tree so that you could be saved by grace for free. Saul of Tarsus, his conversion was accompanied, number one, by prayer. He prayed for 3 days, fasting and prayer, you see. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Saul of Tarsus, his conversion, number two, was accompanied by preparation. He needed to prepare for what God had for him. Verse number 13 says this. Let me go on down. Verse number 15, preparation. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. You see, God overlooked everybody else in the land of Israel. I mean, don't you think that there's a bunch of young men in the land of Israel that God could have chosen for what he wanted them to do? But he picked out this one man. His name is Saul of Tarsus. God chose this one man. He saw something, and I told you what it was last week. He saw something in this one man, and he chose that one man. It says here, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In other words, I have chosen this man, and he's going to bear my name. In other words, he's going to make my name known among the kings, the children of Israel, and the Gentiles, you see. Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles. Not that he only preached to Gentiles, but that was his primary ministry, was to the Gentiles. But he did preach to Jews also. He preached before kings. God said to the apostle Paul that he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, to make my name known among the Gentiles, and before kings, and before the children of Israel. I have chosen this man. You see, God could have chosen a lot of people, but he saw qualities in this man that he needed to do that job. And so he came, and he stopped this man. And I told you last week that God can stop anybody at any time, wherever they are, if he so desires. And he stopped the Apostle Paul, although he wasn't the Apostle Paul yet. Saul's conversion was accompanied, number one, by prayer, and number two, by preparation. In verse number 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. In verse number 16, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I mean, how would you like to be chosen for the purpose of suffering for the Lord? That's what he said right there. I've chosen him to bear my name. That's number one. And number two, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's going to have to suffer. What a life it's going to be, see. It's preparation. He has to know these things so that he can be prepared for what God has for him. Verse number 17, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, who would not think that this man here, Saul of Tarsus, is not saved yet? Who would think that? How can a Baptist preacher get up and say that he has to go over to Damascus and get saved? He wasn't saved on the road. Of course he was saved on the road to Damascus. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus hath appeared unto thee in the way that thou, as thou camest, and hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lost people don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Unsaved people don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, let me tell you something. To be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Spirit. A lot of people, they're afraid of the term Holy Ghost. They're afraid of that. Brother, it's in the Bible. That's the Spirit of God. That's His name. The Holy Spirit of God, He's the Spirit. He's the Comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He leads and guides us into all truth. And the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's for you. That's from the oldest to the youngest Christian. Save people. Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, let Him rule your life. Let Him fill every part of your body. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And let Him direct your paths. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I hate the lust of the flesh. Man, I got this flesh on me, and I hate it. I've still got it here, and I'm going to have to fight it till the day that I die. I hate it. I despise it, but it's still there. And I got to put up with it, you see. And you got to put up with it. The only way a person can have victory over the flesh is to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's for you, and that's for me. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for preachers. You know, you hear preachers talk a lot of times about a man of God. They're the man of God and all this kind of stuff. Look, any Christian man can be a man of God. And we ought to be a man of God, you see. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15 and 16, I think it is. 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for prophecy, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's for you. That's for you. We can all be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ushers ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Teachers ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Moms and dads ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. All Christians ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said that Saul's conversion was accompanied by three things. Number one, by prayer. Number two, by preparation. And number three, by preaching. By preaching, says in verse number 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. The Son of God. And he preached in the synagogues. Man, that's bold. You know why? You know who's in the synagogues? The Jews. The Jews that don't believe. He goes in there and he preaches there. So Saul of Tarsus has gone from being a persecutor to a preacher of the faith. The Bible says in verse number 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He proved from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus was Christ. I would imagine that he used Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 1 gives us the very words. 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross, Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 1 said this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's already prophesied. It's already given what he was written, you see. So he proved from the Old Testament scriptures, Isaiah chapter 53, he would use that, which says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And all those verses there. He probably used Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 63, Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 60. He is seen in all of those verses there as a suffering Savior and the servant of the Lord. So that's some things about some things about the conversion of the of Saul of Tarsus. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, for a minute. I know most.